Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All of Psalm 23. Then looking further in the book of Psalms, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And then one final scripture, a verse, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Lord, thank you for the healing power of your word, the cleansing power of your word, the renewing power of your word, the empowering power of your word. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be wise enough to fill our hearts, our minds, our lives with your word, and thus allow your word to minister to our spirit, souls, and bodies according to your perfect will. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, who is healing himself as well. Bless us today according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much that you are our provider. Father, thank you so much that you provided Adam and Eve with a garden to thrive in. Father, thank you so much that whenever they messed that up, you provided us with Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and as our ticket, as our certificate for being covered in Jesus' blood to make it into heaven. Father, thank you so much that you're coming back again to make a new heaven and a new earth for us to live forever with you. Father, thank you so much for all of your provision and how you lead us in your ways and how all your ways are good. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to have every one of our listeners listening in. And, you know, many of you know that by the grace of the Lord, my wife, Bertie, and I had the privilege of helping to start a mobile pregnancy ministry that serves in the Mississippi Delta, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. We are a mobile medical pregnancy ministry serving specifically in the communities of Greenwood, Mississippi, Mississippi Valley State University, and Greenville, Mississippi as well. I want to ask for your continued prayers. I want to mention that when it comes to the life issue, there's always spiritual warfare surrounding it, and our ministry has been experiencing some heavy warfare as of late. Please pray much for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. But for your information, our website is deltapchc.org. Again, that's deltapchc.org if you'd like more information about the ministry. But if you'll pray for the Lord to pour out your mercy upon us, pray that God would provide the necessary personnel. We really need more volunteers. Like most pregnancy clinics, we depend heavily on volunteers, and right now we're just needing more volunteers that'll come alongside to help us in several different regards. Pray for our mobile unit itself, which actually has experienced some unique difficulty, mechanical difficulty as of late. Again, it's warfare. Now, of course, we do use good mechanics and other people that help with the unit, but we do need your prayers. So please pray much for the ministry. Our staff of about five precious young women do an excellent job. The sonographers and all the rest, they do a great job. They need your prayers because, again, some of the things they experience are a result of Satan coming against the ministry. So please pray for our staff. Pray for the ministry. If you feel so led to give financially, we would certainly appreciate that. Again, that email, that website is deltapchc.org. But your prayers mean so much. So if you'll pray much for the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry, we ask that you would do just that. As we often do, I want to share briefly an article before we introduce our phone guest today. And remember, when we share the articles, they're meant to be discipleship tools to help and encourage you in your walk. This one specifically has to do with one more fruitful way the church can get more involved with the life issue. The title of the article is Your Church a House of Refuge? In our nation, the landscape of the battlefield for life has changed, yet the battle continues to rage. State legislatures are passing laws, some to take steps to support life and others to further promote abortion. Tragically, most abortions in our nation are chemical abortions today. And sadly, this kind of abortion can be hidden, done in secret in some unique ways. And yes, this kind of abortion can be obtained and has been obtained in all 50 states, even after the passing of Roe v. Wade. It's critical that the church recognizes that our battle is genuinely a spiritual one being fought in the heavenlies. The church is genuinely the most powerful institution in the world, and it's simply vital that we, the church, come to realize who we are and what we're called to do as it relates to the kingdom of God. What are we called to do? We're called to love. We're called to love people by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're called to love people by being the hands and feet of Jesus in a world full of troubled, wearied, and lost people. One important group of people that the church must come alongside is mothers who find themselves expecting a child at a tough time in their lives. What can the church do to compassionately show these mothers the love of Jesus in a very faithful and genuine way? Well, one unique and fruitful way is a local church can choose to become a house of refuge. The national ministry Love Life is helping local churches across the nation to get involved with Standing for Life by helping them to become houses of refuge. A house of refuge church is a local church that does the following things. This church reads the House of Refuge statement at least twice a year from the pulpit, and this church posts the statement publicly on their website and or in their lobby. The church has selected a representative from their congregation, and Love Life has trained that rep to equip their church family to be a house of refuge. The following is the House of Refuge statement. Our church is a house of refuge. This applies to everyone in this church or people you know that need a place of refuge. Here's what we believe. If you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, please know that being pregnant is not a sin, and the child you carry is not a punishment. This child is a blessing. God is knitting this child in your womb. You may have made a wrong decision that led to this pregnancy, or you may have been sinned against, but we want you to know that you are loved. And we will do whatever it takes to help you carry and care for this precious child before and after birth. We can never support or encourage a woman to have an abortion because the child you carry is made in the image of God and is innately valuable and loved by God. You need to know how we will respond. Here's what we won't do. This church family will not tolerate gossip about you, shame you, or abandon you. This is a house of refuge, and we will not allow the church, we will not allow the family of God to harm one another with words or actions contrary to the love of God as revealed in the Word of God. Here's what we will do. We will do everything in our power to remove whatever obstacles stand in the way of you having this child. There are people in this church ready to mentor you, throw you a baby shower, and connect you to resources inside and outside of our church, a local pregnancy care center. We will also hold men accountable for living out their calling to provide and protect women and children. Finally, if you have ever had an abortion in your past, we want you to know that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sins find mercy. If you have never gone through a post-abortion Bible study, we will be happy to connect you to one so that you can walk in complete healing and freedom. If your church has a desire to become a house of refuge, it's not hard to go through that process. Again, ending the statement. The reason for a church to become a house of refuge is because it helps the church in one more powerful and effective and important way to further be the hands and feet of Jesus in a tough, tough world. For more information on the opportunity of how to become a house of refuge, go to Love Life's website, lovelife.org. Again, the title of that article is Your Church, a House of Refuge. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And we want to challenge and prayerfully encourage every single listener, consider getting this article and approaching your pastor about the possibility of your church becoming a house of refuge as well. We are very honored to have as our phone guest today, Deborah Bryan. Deborah wears a number of hats, but one of those hats is she works with Operation Outcry, a division of the Justice Foundation, in doing a great work ministering to individuals who may be post-abortive. Deborah, how are you today?
I'm very good, Pastor Joseph. Thank you.
Honored to have you on today, and we appreciate you taking the time to do the interview with us today. I want to ask Deborah if you'll take time to further introduce yourself to our listeners, whatever you feel like you wish to share for them to know you better, but also want to invite you to share about what Operation Outcry is, and then we're going to give you a chance to really share your testimony and your own journey. So if you would take a moment to introduce yourself, please.
Absolutely. Thank you. So I was introduced to Operation Outcry in recent months, and it was because I had filled out a declaration. I am post-abortive. I filled out a declaration after I had a healing Bible study that said, this is me and my abortion, how my abortion hurt me. My abortion hurt me. And I signed that declaration and I forwarded it to Operation Outcry. This was many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that declaration, they reached out to me recently, and God has used me through this opportunity of my voice being heard as a post-abortive woman to do his work in this area. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an overview of how that came about. And mm-hmm. Operation Outcry has just amazing resources available. They've allowed me to share in different venues, especially my story as a pastor's daughter and the life that I lived because of my abortion. So Operation Outcry's website, just for future, is operationoutcry.org, and they've got so many wonderful resources there available. So I have really enjoyed being part of this movement in sharing what God is doing through abortion recovery healing and letting people know that they have a voice to speak out because they're healed. Also because they need to find a place to get healing. And your article that you just shared about the House of Refuge was just amazing. So what a beautiful way to get that into the churches.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go into break, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side where you left off. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Deborah Bryan of Operation Outcry. We'll be right back.
What if it's here? stranger who already knew your name. What if it's him? What if it's God speaking?
Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, our phone guest today is Deborah Bryan. She's working with Operation Outcry, a division of the Justice Foundation. And Deborah, would you take time now specifically to pray for our listeners that the Lord would help them to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Well, Heavenly Father, right now, we just ask that all those who are listening to this broadcast will have ears to hear the truth, to hear the tenderness and the love and compassion that you share through your love, through your Savior, your Son, Jesus, dying on the cross for us, that forgiveness is in you, and we can also seek that same forgiveness. But Father, please bring openness to those hearing this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Deborah, if you would just take time to dive right in and share about your own testimony and your journey with the Lord.
Sure. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. So I grew up in a pastor's family. I was the only daughter, the oldest, with two younger brothers. And it was a life just of normal, what I would look as a normal family life. But what I realized, too, as I was getting older was there were things in my life I was rejected. I was rejected by a brother. I was kind of not shown as much demonstrative love of a father to a daughter. So I began to seek those things in the wrong way as I got into college. I knew God, and I really knew those things that I was doing were wrong. But I became very promiscuous. As I reached the age of 21, I was faced with an unplanned pregnancy. My parents had moved to Florida, so I was in another area of the country, and actually Missouri, and I didn't know what to do. I had nowhere to turn. And so I used the people around me, the circle of friends I had, as my, they were my direction. And so I chose abortion. After I stepped into that place, after I left that place, I knew I had done something horribly wrong. I had immediate guilt and shame piled upon me in my life. I knew I had killed my child. I knew I could never change what had happened. But what then began to happen to me was I wasn't healed. I was broken. I faced a lot of rejection. So I continued in that same pattern of living because I was seeking something that I knew at the time. I thought I'm seeking it from physical man. But what I really needed was the healing that God would provide for my heart. So I continued the same pattern. I found myself pregnant again a few years later. At this point, I had just been saved. I had been brought to Jesus. He was my Savior. I was born again. I was in a whole different place. And so at that moment, I knew that God wanted me to have this child. The father was not going to be part of my life or hers. And so I had my daughter. And it was beautiful. But I want to say this, in that early period, this was in the 90s, and there was a lot of judgment cast upon women who were single moms without a father to raise the child and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Florida to be closer to my family, and I faced a lot of judgment. I say that, it's judgment with the people at the church that my father was at. So again, I'm facing all of this. I'm facing that people don't like the choices I made. It was just very heavy. Mm-hmm. I also continue to still have the shame and the guilt of that secret of that abortion that I didn't want anyone to know about. Mm-hmm. I still continued in that pattern of seeking a man that I could have in my life for my daughter and I to have a family. And so I married a man, and it was the wrong choice. After about 7 years with that man, we divorced. In the meantime, I had been working in the church. And I should also say this, between that particular person, I had another abortion because I had been with another man.
Mm.
All of these things to say that...
Deborah, would you, before you continue, would you pray for listeners who maybe have made some decisions similar to some of those that you made that you realized weren't the best decision, and pray for them that they would really seek the Lord's direction for their lives at this point in time in their lives?
Absolutely. Yes. Heavenly Father, right now we lift up to you any listeners that are hearing my story that have walked a similar path, that have made those decisions that are not of you, but were choices that were made, maybe in desperation, maybe in just loneliness, Father. We just pray for these people to hear, these listeners to just seek your face, Father, to seek you with their whole being, Lord, to know that you have your arms open to bring them to you, that forgiveness is there for them, Father, that those choices that we made are not something that we have to live with. We can give them up to you, that you will remove them, our sins, as far as the east is from the west, and you remember them no more. We thank you, Father, for bringing us this truth, Father, and your forgiveness and your love. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Excuse me for the interruption, but just wanted to ask for that. So I'll go right ahead.
Absolutely. Well, when I was, as I said, my daughter was a year and a half old, and I was with another boyfriend and got pregnant, and he said, I'll be there for the baby, but I won't marry you. And I then had another layer of rejection placed upon me. So my only option in my mind at that time was I don't want to keep this child. Selfishly, very selfishly, I had a second abortion. The shame and the guilt still continued to heap upon me. So I just couldn't, I didn't see a way out. I just kept doing the same things. As I said, I did marry a man and thought this will make everything look on the surface like everything's good, but it was the wrong man.
Mm-hmm.
And after 7 years of watching how he was treating my daughter, how things with him and I were going, I knew that I had made the wrong decision. And after counseling and such, I did end up getting a divorce. At that same time, I had already been working in my church. Mm-hmm. And even in my mind, knowing Jesus is my Savior, I still thought, I'm going to pay God back for those sins I did so that I can pay him back. Mm-hmm. And that was totally wrong. And of course, he reminded me gently that he had sent Jesus to die for my sins. After that divorce, and I was on this staff, church staff, and I was in administration there, and I was also leading women's Bible studies there, I made another error in judgment with another man seeking comfort in a physical way, and I got pregnant again. This part of my story I share openly because I was working at my church. I knew if I said I was pregnant, I would lose my job at the church. I would lose my reputation, whatever that looked like to me, another rejection of me as a person. And so again, selfishly, I had an abortion. That would be in 20 years, 4 pregnancies, 1 child, and 3 abortions. My life was so confused, chaotic. I couldn't almost hardly survive. I want to say this. I did not turn to alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. I did not have suicidal thoughts, but there are many who have all of those things because the root cause in abortion is something happens so deep inside us we can't explain it. We have unmeasurable grief that we can't just say, well, I lost a child. We can't share that with people because they'll say, well, you chose to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a grief that we cannot fathom. So after all of this and living my life and trying to figure things out, God brought me to a healing place. He brought me to a place where I could begin to heal. And I went into a Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free. It was an eight-week study. I was with other women in that circle confidentially who had also had abortions. And what a healing place. That was a starting place for my healing began then.
And what was the name of the Bible study?
The Bible study was called Forgiven and Set Free. It's by Linda Cochran.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I also did that study one more time after that to continue to get more healing because of the three abortions I had had. And so it helped to really hope bring layers of healing to me, one layer at a time.
Well, you know, specifically, if someone wants to get information about that Bible study, Forgiven and Set Free, how can they do that?
Yes. So currently, I'm part of a local pregnancy center in my area, and we do these Bible studies locally. So we can certainly also, I'll give you an email address that you can reach out to find out, but certainly we can also help, as with your pregnancy center you have, give people resources in their local areas. There's lots of those around. Mm-hmm. But if you're interested in a Forgiven and Set Free Bible study for abortion recovery, there's an email, healinggrace@oasispregnancycenter.org. healinggrace@oasispregnancycenter.org.
Okay. All right. And so you're saying then after you went through the post-abortive Bible studies, the Lord used that to bring a lot of healing and wholeness to your life. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What I came to realize as we went through each of the weeks in this study, there's weeks where you learn about anger and you learn about grief and denial and all of these things, and you learn about the character of God and who He really is. And, I mean, it just, you see the abounding love of God. Mm. And you come to a place where you realize, as you have said, I have asked for forgiveness, and He gave that forgiveness to me. Mm-hmm. And it felt like I was in a prison cell with the door wide open, and I stayed in that prison cell for 20 years. And finally, I could walk out. The door was already open. He said, come, and I could go out of that cell and be free. The healing process doesn't just stop there. Mm-hmm. I also did a healing retreat, abortion recovery, from a ministry called Deeper Still. Mm-hmm. And it was 3 days of just getting more and more into who God is, how He's bringing me healing, just being able to recognize my children. And it was just life-changing in that point as well.
Well, Deborah, would you say to persons that are listening who, well, obviously women and or men maybe who encouraged or paid for an abortion as well.
Yeah.
If they were saying, well, I'm not sure if a Bible study would help me or not, what would you say to that person?
Well, yes, there are other studies out there as well of resources that are for people who may not have a biblical background or may not have a relationship with God. And so there are those out there that help them walk through these similar stages of grief. But honestly and truly, when we have the absolute biblical knowledge and truth of who God is, how mm-hmm. He sent Jesus to die for us, that this is a life-changing thing. We have seen people, like you just said, men and women go through the different studies mm-hmm. and find healing, even if they didn't know who God was or they didn't know Jesus as their Savior. So it's still a good opportunity for them to begin to see who Jesus is and who God is through these programs. But there are some out there that are resources to be able to utilize that may be secular-based as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, so would you encourage most anyone who've been down the road of abortion then to go through a Bible study?
I would absolutely do that, yes. I mean, certainly I was raised in the church, and that has always been my, you know, beginning. But for anyone who is just trying to figure out where do they go? Like, there's something deep inside that they cannot fix. That's where God comes in and heals that. So, yes, it is an opportunity to really just just put yourself in a place where you can find that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like I said, many resources are out there and available. You can reach out to our email address and we can direct you to those. It's just life changing. And I think as we know, the only way we can see life change is through our Savior, Jesus, and what he has done to die on that cross for our sins.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So would it be accurate to say then that it was a major turning point in your life when you went through the Bible studies then?
I would absolutely say that. What happened then after the study and then the additional study is I felt led to go into ministry and to share my story because I wanted others to get what I got. Mm-hmm. And if they heard a story like mine and they said, that's me too, I want to know what you have. And even because of my church background, I wanted to share. And I will say this, that once I got healed,
Deborah, I'm going to need to jump in right here and we can pick up right there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Deborah Bryan. She's with Operation Outcry, a division of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back. Music of Mercy Me with the Hurt and the Healer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Deborah Bryan. She works with Operation Outcry, a division of the Justice Foundation, amongst other things. And Deborah, would you take a moment specifically? Early in the broadcast, you used the term, you made a declaration. Would you explain to our listeners what you meant by that?
Absolutely. On the Operation Outcry website, which is operationoutcry.org, mm-hmm. there is a place to file what they call declaration, how my abortion affected me. And I filled that out many years ago after I had received healing and was going to be able to share what it had done to me. And it's just a form you can fill out online, and then it goes to them, and they keep it confidential. They would only, so that's what I did. And that allowed them to reach out to me most recently because mm-hmm. there is now in the court of Missouri Attorney General is against Planned Parenthood in a case coming up in court. And so they have reached out to me to see if my testimony, my witness could be utilized to help in the fight against abortion. So I'm very thankful that because I did fill this out, doesn't mean everybody's going to be, reached out to. But having these declarations on their accessible to them, they see how many people have been hurt. And again, like you said earlier, men and women both are affected by abortion, whether they were in the room or whether they helped a woman by paying for an abortion and now regret it. So it is good for anyone, man or woman, to file. And that helps to see exactly who is being affected by abortion.
Okay. All right. And also, we've on a number of times during the broadcast, we've used the word post-abortive. Explain to our listeners what post-abortive means.
Yeah. So post-abortive terminology simply means that you have experienced an abortion. So we have abortion wounded hearts, post-abortive healing. It's all based on the fact that someone has had an abortion in their life.
Well, and again, you know, I would say again, Deborah, really appreciate you being willing to share your testimony in it, because it seems that in my experience in dealing with the life issue, that for every one person that's able to share their testimony, you may literally have hundreds who are in hiding, who are just hoping no one ever finds out that a year ago, 5, 10, 20, 30 year, or more years ago, that they went down the road of abortion. So, thank you for being willing
and
to share.
Go ahead. One out of three have had, in sitting in churches today, have had an abortion. It's a very sobering statistic and very sad. And just like you shared earlier about the chemical abortions being rising in popularity, so to speak, they're horrible. And those secrets and all of that that happens is why my voice, I want my voice to be heard. Don't go that route. Don't do that. Stop that even thought. And just having the pregnancy centers like you've shared out there to help with the resources and the house of refuge, our churches be the house of refuges for women and men across the country. It's just amazing. And again, Operation Outcry's website is operationoutcry.org. And all the resources, there's an H3 helpline for somebody who is contemplating abortion. You can contact them 24 hours. All the time. If you want to file a declaration about how abortion affected you, you can fill it out there.
Well, and also, Deborah, if someone listening is thinking to themselves, they would really like to be able to find in their local community a Bible study like the one you talked about, a post-abortive Bible study like Forgiven and Set Free, how could they find out if there's one in their local community?
Well, on the web, internet, you can certainly go look abortion recovery Bible studies on the internet. If you would reach out directly to me at healinggrace@oasispregnancycenter.org, we can direct you to someone local to where you are. So there's a lot of those things available to you through the internet and a lot of places. And we would love to help direct you to any of those. Some of them are done online and some of them are done in person. So you might want something that's local to you.
Okay, share the the email one more time if they want to get in touch with you.
Okay, it's healinggrace@oasispregnancycenter.org.
Okay, all right. Well, Deborah, again, really do appreciate your, as I mentioned, sharing your testimony. Operation Outcry has been out there for a period of time, and do you know, I've guessed by this point in time, with as long as they've been out there, they've accumulated quite a few testimonies, haven't they?
Yes, they have, absolutely. And with the different amendments that were going around the country over this last election cycle, and all of those things, and just having the voices of the people who are standing and saying, abortion affected me, and being able to stop these things from, some of them didn't pass in states and some of them did. But, you know, the battle, as you said, is a spiritual battle. And so it's just getting people to stand and getting people who want healing to come to get healing and then moving forward. It's a battle for sure.
That's right.
But
that's
it's
right.
In all for God's glory and to just bring people to be the person that God wants them to be. Once they've come through healing, they can serve Him better. They can be a better, you know, person in the community, to their families, to their children, and to their grandchildren, and all the legacy that goes on from there.
Amen. Amen. Deborah, would you take time specifically to pray for churches and pastors to really seek God's heart as far as how they should get further involved with addressing this, in view of the fact that, and of course, Many people wouldn't believe the statistic that you mentioned, that's close to one out of every three women have been down the road of abortion. And very important to note, too, that for people that try to say, well, it's a woman's issue, there's a man in the picture 100% of the time. And many times he was pushing or encouraging it, or even sometimes maybe coercing it. So men and women need the forgiveness of Jesus ministered to them, and they need healing in their lives as well. So would you pray for the church and for pastors to get more involved with helping to address these issues?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we know that life is important. And we know that many have made the choice to end a life for various reasons in their own minds, desperation, how can I do this, no support. So, Father, we just ask now that the church as a whole stand, that the church and pastors will come forward and say, please come in and share about what happened. Let those that have walked through healing share in churches. Let the churches and the pastors hear the truth. And in that respect, then the people that are sitting in their churches can see that it has happened to someone else, and yet look at the healing that they have received. So, Father, bring the boldness of those people that are healed into the churches so that the pastors will stand with the truth, and that life is abundantly from you, Lord, that we can bring the truth into churches, Lord. Let not the pastors be afraid to bring this subject into churches, Father. Let them not be afraid for what that might do to someone who doesn't want their secret to be told, doesn't want to share that secret, Lord. Those secrets are just hurting people for years and years and years. Let the pastors be bold and let them share these truths in their churches, Father. Let those that have these stories to share be the ones that help them. Bring them the resources that they need to know that they can stand on the truth and your truth about life and its abundance. Father, we thank you so much, and we pray for these, our churches today. We just pray for them to bring this mighty truth into each and every corner of their church and to bring healing to those sitting in their pews who are afraid to tell the secret. Bring them healing. We thank you, Jesus, for the work you are doing. We thank you for the work that is happening through these amazing resources, through Operation Outcry, through these declarations, through pregnancy centers across the country, helping women and men. Thank you for helping them in their pregnancies, and thank you for helping them after an abortion, Father. We thank you. You are such a gracious Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I too thank you for our sister Deborah. Thank you for many other women and individuals that are willing to share their testimony so that others can hear the truth and so that they in turn can seek to make wise and correct decisions in their own lives. Father, raise up more and more individuals who are willing to share their heart and their journey to help others as well. And Father, I pray, in line with what Sister Deborah prayed for as well, Father, more and more move upon the hearts of pastors and leaders in the church, and move upon more and more churches to decide that they're going to get serious about getting involved with the life issue. More and more open eyes and hearts to understand, Lord, that by no means was the battle over when Roe v. Wade was overturned, but in some ways the battle just stirred up and went in a different direction. Help churches to seek to become informed and learn about the dynamics of what's going on the landscape of the battlefield for life. Help more and more churches to learn about what chemical abortion is and to learn that abortion pill reversal is available. And help more churches to want to become houses of refuge who will come alongside and love women and walk with them in the work of keep helping them to and encourage them to keep their babies. And Lord, help us to know there's so much work to be done. And you simply want available vessels, believers who say, here am I, Lord, send me to do your will. Help us to seek that, to listen to you, and just simply obey you, and to seek your heart on this issue. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, thank you so much, Deborah, for being with us today. And as always, our encouragement is that all of our listeners will pray for you and the many other persons that have worked with Operation Outcry. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you and to make you brand new, today is a good day, a great day to make that step. If you'd like to commit your life to Christ, receive His forgiveness, and be made brand new, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my life following you. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd very much like to connect with you. My email again is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch with us. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Or if you want a copy of the article we shared earlier as well, is your church a house of refuge? Same email, joseph@afr.net. Deborah, thank you so much for being with us. One more time, would you share the website for Operation Outcry?
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. The website is operationoutcry.org. Operationoutcry.org.
Amen. And thank you again, Deborah, for sharing your powerful testimony, and keep up the great work, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.